know that he took the lessons at the end. I thank him who has given me strength for this, Christ Jesus our Lord, because he judged me faithful by appointing me to his service. He told us that he always wanted to be a doctor. And finally, after many years of struggle and study, my cousin's ambition was realized. He was not practicing his ministry of healing for more than 4 or 5 years when he was afflicted by a dread disease and in a few short days lay dead. The pastor, attempting to speak words of comfort to his grieving wife, to his grief-stricken family, said something that has remained with me for more than 20 years now since my cousin's death. He said, "It is not the length of life, but its death that really matters. It is not the length of life, but its death that really matters. We who love and are loved by our wives, by our families, by our friends, by our colleagues, can hardly be blamed for hoping for, yes, even praying for, long life. But in our noblest hours, in our most lucid moments, if we had a choice, if we were confronted with a choice, we would have to say that we would choose the death of life rather than its length. Hence we're confronted with this question. How can I invest my life in something that provides that life with death? Doesn't our text point to an answer? Listen again. I thank him who has given me strength for this, Christ Jesus our Lord, because he judged me faithful by appointing me to his service. The text suggests that when we sense that we are appointed to his service, we open the door to a life that knows the joy and the satisfaction of death. The words which St. Paul uses here in the original are quite instructive. Actually, they're very simple words, they're very common words, not at all unusual. However, they tell us an important story. The first epiphany, which in its simplest meaning, as I'm sure you understand, is to place something. More intensely, it means to appoint, and more dramatically, to destine something. It's obvious that each of these meanings does not in any way include the idea of a personal choice. Jesus Christ initiated the action. St. Paul had been placed, had been appointed, had been destined to be active in Christ's service. That was the point that he was to fulfill. His destiny is to serve the Lord Jesus Christ. On the other hand, the common word diakonia may be used of any kind of service, and justifiably can be used by any Christian of his service for the Lord Jesus Christ, and also be used by every Christian for that service. But in this text, it seems to me to carry much more faith than that. It is distinctively a call to the service of Christ in the proclamation of the gospel of freedom. So how do we add the dimension of depth to life? How do we fulfill our destiny according to this text? by heeding the call which Jesus Christ extends to us to serve him in whatever capacity he should choose. St. Paul is obviously echoing the words and the spirit of our Lord Jesus Christ. He said, "The Son of Man is come not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life a ransom for many." And also the word of our Lord Jesus himself, as he speaks concerning others and says that he who would save his life will lose it, and he who would lose his life for my sake and the gospel, the same shall save it. See how this changes the complexion of any life. It is not what we get out of it, but rather what we put into it, what we invest in it, that makes the difference. Philip Brooks, as he thinks of the potential of each person in the service of Christ, speaks with the highest form of idealism when he writes, "Be such a man, live such a life, that if every man were such as you and every life a life like yours, this world would be a paradise." But a high ambition, but a noble aim. But the more I think of it, perhaps and the more that you think of it, the more we meditate upon this word, the more the word comes flying back in our faces, not with hope, nor with expectation of fulfillment, but with a sure knowledge that we simply cannot measure up. There's something within us that vitiates and destroys the nobleness of our ideas. Hence we're tempted to turn away in despair. But the word of St. Paul has not been heard out. He nowhere suggests that he has done this. Rather, most clearly and distinctly, he indicates, "I thank him who has given me strength for this, Jesus Christ our Lord." St. Paul, the realist, knows that he's a sinner. As a matter of fact, he claims that he's the chief of sinners, the foremost of sinners, since he formally blasphemed and persecuted and insulted Jesus Christ. But by the grace of God, he had been brought to faith in Jesus Christ and could say with assurance, "This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief." By means of Jesus' life, his death, his resurrection, he had rescued Paul from his sin and given him the strength to serve. That self-same Christ, through his life, through his death, his resurrection, saved us today. Thanks to us, we trust in him the forgiveness of sin. Day by day empowers us by his word and his holy sacrament to become that which we could never be apart from the strength which he provides. If you ever wondered what makes or what made the great David Livingstone tick, his hidden life reveals it. Now Henry Stanley found Livingstone over in Africa. He argued with him to return to Great Britain. Livingstone refused. 2 days later, this is what he wrote in his diary. "March 19th, my birthday. My Jesus, my King, my life, my all. I dedicate myself to thee. Accept me and grant me, O gracious Father, that ere the year is over, I may finish my work." A year later, his servant found him kneeling at his cot, cold and still in death. But his spirit had been freed and is now with that same Lord Jesus Christ, to whom he had dedicated his life and whom he had served in a dedicated manner all of his life. A poet wrote following his death, "Who needs no epitaph to God a name which men surprise while worthy work is known? He lived and died for good." See, this is saying that marble crumbles, this is living stone. We who like living stone and St. Paul, gazed by faith on the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, hearing his word of forgiveness, gladly spend our lives in his matchless service by the strength that he supplies in word and sacrament. And each day that we live, we prove by our God-empowered life that it is not the length of life, but its death that really matters. And only the peace of God, which transcends all human understanding, mounts God like a sentinel about your hearts and your minds, to faith in Christ Jesus and to life everlasting. Amen.